Second Timothy.
I thought it was going to be here.
Chapter 3.
Now, James is in general reads.
Now, as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
Are we going to look at reprobate?
Reprobate is a word called, it's dokimos, but with an article in front making it a negative. Dokimos is the word that means it's what's used for metals. When you ask, you know, you mine the metal and then you go through the whole process of heating it and purifying it. And the process is done for the purposes of approving. But the reprobate aren't approved. And the reason they're not approved is that they don't know that Jesus Christ is in them, so they're incapable of repentance. Now, that's only as far as we know after the flesh. What happens in spirit, we don't have any idea. And so let's look at that real quickly. Where am I going to go? First Peter. That's where we're going to go.
That's back to the right.
First Peter chapter 4. And again, we're talking about reprobate. After the flesh, someone that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is in them is incapable of repentance, so therefore they're reprobate. Understand? But we don't know. It's none of our business what happens in his world, in his time. So that's what we're studying. First Peter chapter 4, verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead, or the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. So the idea, this thing about whether you're redeemed or whether you're going to heaven or who's going to do this or who's going to do that, that's none of our business. But we have to be faithful to what we see and what we know. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? That's a different animal. Okay? Everybody understand that?
Self-willed.
Yeah.
Which is opposed to the everything.
All right, go back to 2 Timothy. Reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed. It's interesting. Watch. In Greek, any time the definite article is used, it brings your attention to the singularity of that. So when it says reprobate concerning the faith, it means the singular faith. And it's really the faith of Christ that we live by. So it's reprobate concerning the faith. Amen? What? Quit raising your hand.
How's that?
You're going to be polite for a change?
Yeah, I was trying to.
All right.
I was going to ask you about corrupt minds.
Okay. What would you like to know about corrupt minds?
I don't know, man. I'm asking you because, you know, what's the reserve, something behind that?
Go to 2 Peter. We're spending a lot of time in Peter. I think that means that Pete is in deep doo-doo.
Let's hope that's the case.
2 Peter chapter 2.
Let's hope that's the case.
Chapter 2. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. And again, godly doesn't have this image, oh, he's a sweet little guy, and he's got a halo around his head. Godly is a word, remember, that it means right thinking. And right thinking, from his perspective, is that Christ is my life. So he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Now, this is what we talked about last night. You walk in your, as you go on in your little life, the word walk is always in the present tense. And so what happens, though, is I talked about Norman Grubb last night. He wrote a book called Quick Down and Quick Up. And the quick down is when you are tempted and you start to think about it. You may even do it. Let's talk about addicts for a second, because several of you have been addicts. Well, I've been an addict. The reason that addicts exist in our culture is to show us how completely and totally we are addicted to self. Now, this self-addiction, as long as you recognize it, then when it happens, once self becomes the subject, then you're quick down, because then you've fallen. But there's quick up if you immediately see it. But even if you don't immediately see it, even if you are continuing in addiction, as long as whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you acknowledge God, then you are free. And it's God's business to deliver you from the addiction, just as it's God's business to deliver you from self, as long as you see the futility of self. So at the walk is quick down. You get something grabs your attention. If it's really quick up, then you see it before you enter into the temptation. The temptation is there. It's a down. Then you repent. You're quickly back up on the mercy seat. But if you continue, that you've got to give that to God too. So God is always the subject of your sentence. Do you see what I'm saying? So the biggest evil that you can do in this process is condemn yourself, because then you are saying the blood of Christ wasn't sufficient for you.
And the minute you say that, is the point of you separating yourself from God.
Right. You have left the mercy seat to enter a temptation of some kind. Now, you do this mostly mentally.
When we read in Hebrews about Jesus Christ, not someone who didn't suffer all things, that's what I think of, is that he never left God. He considered or looked at or
right.
Whatever he did with all things, but he just didn't separate.
Right. Amen. All right. Now, we haven't even studied what we want to study. Verse 8, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk, and again, the walk is always in the present tense. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lusts of uncleanness, and despise authorities. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, and this is the definition of corrupt, Ronnie. These, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, spake evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So their minds have been corrupted. For what? How does that happen? How do you in order to be corrupted, it had to be a time in which it wasn't corrupted. You understand what I'm saying? So you had a time in which there was faith, there was understanding, there was seeing. But then you corrupt, your mind has been corrupted by falling back into the flesh. And so you make your life and your judgments the same as brute beasts. You continue to follow your appetites. You give importance to the world instead of to God. And so you're walking just as another Gentile walks. So that's what a corrupt mind is. You understand, Ronnie? Does that answer your question? All right. They shall proceed no further.
Where are we?
Go back to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. Verse 9. They shall proceed no further. Proceed is well, let's look at that in its ultimate. Let's go to Romans 13. We just saw it in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter. But let's see it in Romans 13. My pages of my Bible stick together.
You read the wrong verse.
What?
You read the wrong verse. You say it's verse 9, you should read it verse 8.
I caught that expression on Romans.
I caught that little faux pas.
Chapter 13. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. When it says the day is at hand, it means the day is here. It's just like when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. So the night is far spent. Far spent is it shall proceed no further. From our standpoint, the day is here. The night is over. Because we are on the mercy seat in the day of the Sabbath. The whole world is in the night of the Sabbath when no man can work. And we, on the mercy seat, see the finishedness of it. So the only work that we have is believing in him who he has sent. There's no other work. You never concern yourself with what you don't have. You're only faithful to what is set before you. Anything else is God's business. Amen? So the night is far spent. The day is at hand. So from this standpoint, that's what it means. It shall proceed no further. Right.
Once you see the light, then it's there, and that's as far as it goes.
Right. That's why Jesus said just before he died, the night cometh when no man can work. No man can work. There's nothing for man to do since the day of his death. All right. Well, then we studied Ronnie's folly a whole bunch last time. All right, let's go back to 2 Timothy. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs was also. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions. Now, he's talking to Timothy, and the idea is, when it says thou hast fully known, it means that it doesn't mean that like he followed, like he was a role model, Timothy was a role model. It means that he was aware of the manner of the walk of Paul because he'd been with him for many, many years. So this is his last letter. So he's instructing Timothy and reminding him of all the time that he was with him. Now, let's look at another place where thou is fully known is used. Look at Luke 1. This is important because it defines why what Luke did in writing both the book of Luke and Acts. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding from all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So, the same word is used. It's parakaleuthio, where thou hast, having had perfect understanding of all things. So, what he's saying is, Luke is testifying of himself, saying he had been with them and had perfect understanding because he witnessed what happened to Christ in all these arenas. Now Paul is saying to Timothy, you've done the same. You walked with me all these years. Now if I were writing it, I'd use that same word and say, especially to Pete and to Gary, who've been with me since 73, you have seen all the things. You've seen blah, 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 right? That's sort of what you talked about last night. All right. That was fully known. Wait a minute. We've got to go back now. Back to 2 Timothy. That was fully known my doctrine. Now, Paul's doctrine was the same as the doctrine of Christ. It was the same doctrine into which we have all been delivered. Now, that same doctrine, you cannot receive it of men. The only thing man can do is to provide a spark for that internal witness that's already within you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man can teach you nothing. He can only provide a witness to what that life, which is Christ, which is already in you. So the whole idea then of the doctrine isn't something that you learn. It's the doctrine that we've been delivered into. Amen? Manner of life is agoge. I like that word. Agoge. It means you've fully known my doctrine, manner of life. In other words, I'm sorry to have to do this from a personal experience. Judy told me several years ago that if she had ever seen me nervous about something, she would have left. Now, that's the same kind of thing here. That's what it means, the manner of life. You have manifested the mystery of God, not your own little. The only thing that Paul wanted anybody to follow in him was his faith. And that's the same that I pray in you would follow in me. That's the only thing worthy of following is faith. And that faith then had as its outworking, is you're not tense and screwed up about anything. You're at peace. Amen? And purpose. Purpose is the word prothesis, which means the showbread. So his only manner of life, his only purpose was just as Christ was the face, the bread of the face. So he, his only purpose was to show forth that bread of the faith. That's what the word purpose means. It doesn't have some harebrained idea that you invented that my purpose in life is X, Y, Z. Your purpose is to show forth the showbread. What's going on, Mister? You're in deep doo doo. What's going on?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you.
You're not here.
I am.
You sure? You may be here physically, but
yeah, I'm here.
So are you back now?
I'm here.
You gonna stay here?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that showbread that's being the purpose of it is to be eaten? We are food.
That's right. That's why you're a servant to all.
Yeah, that's our ultimate end, which is not what our old man would have hoped for or expected.
No. Let's look at a few purposes. Showbread. Let's go to Romans 8. What?
Is showbread spiritual food?
No, it's showbread is that's what it, the date when it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the daily bread." The daily bread is the showbread. It's the bread of the presence. It literally means the bread of the face. And so it's the bread of the presence. And when it says in Revelation, I have somewhat against you, even though you've done all these good things, you have left your first love. And so you've left the presence. Okay? All righty. Let's look at purpose. Romans 8. Now what happens with this thing of purpose, it's we're going to look at it, what this outworking looks like. Of the showbread.
Chapter 8, verse 1.
Chapter 8, verse 28. One verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The call of God is Jesus Christ. The office of God is Jesus Christ. How that outworking works out within you is none of our business. But you have to be fully you in order for that to be revealed. But as long as you have an idea of what you want to do, then that idea is idolatry. And it'll keep you from the purpose of God. And it's evident here. There's absolutely nothing that we are doing that we ever planned to do here. Now, I mean, that's really big. It hurts my mind to think about it. All right, go to. Let me see if the other one is.
Romans 8.
Let's go to Romans 9. This is talking, the whole chapter is talking about the Jew and the gospel. Let's just start verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but lo, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Whether you call them, whether you're outwardly called Greeks or Jews or Christians or whatever. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? So how could he possibly... He's saying, this is big. He's saying, while they were yet in the womb, Jacob did he love, but Esau he hated. According to his purpose. Now, it's not that, it's because he saw the end of the movie. So when you get all these people, they're called, you know, like a whole bunches of denominations think they're the elect. And they're the only 144,000 of them, and on and on. That's none of our business. Because we can only, the best you and I can be after the flesh is a friend of the bridegroom. And the only way we can be a friend of the bridegroom is by the abandonment or disowning of ourselves. Amen? Oh, that's enough about purpose. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Whose is that?
Gary, I don't know.
That's a good one. We'll quit there. Gary's phone is the end of time. All right, anybody have any response to all this?
Yeah, I had plenty of responses.
What?
I just had a lot of responses.
What?
Well, it's essentially the same kind of clarity between what is of the kingdom and what is of the flesh here.
Like cell phones? No, wait, cell no, phone. Turn it off a minute.
This guy needs to talk. Huh? This guy needs to talk.
Well,
I rejected the call.
Rejected the call.
This is what we testify to every time we take communion. Because when we say, when Jesus said, when he blessed the bread, he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Bread has only one purpose, to be eaten. He was testifying of his death and his resurrection. When we say it, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, we're testifying of our death, his resurrection, and our only purpose of our life was to be food for others. You lose self in this mystery.
When you said the Lord's Prayer in that context, it was like I heard it the opposite. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, our daily bread is to be consumed by others, not for us to get something, but to be able to
give. Right. The fullness of the mystery of God is in the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
The fullness of the mystery of God is in Psalm the 23rd Psalm. There's several of those key verses it's really the disciples' prayer, because he taught us to pray. And that fullness is manifest. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You do not hallow his name if you think anything is wrong. You see the perfection of his holiness in every place. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in you as the earthen vessel, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of the face, the bread of the presence. So that takes care of the bread. Then, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Therein is the wine. And lead. The word lead is only used, that word in Greek is only used twice in both times in the Lord's Prayer, one in Luke. And it means lead us not into temptation. It means under any circumstances, don't let us go inward for anything. Don't let us return to our mind for anything. Lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I take me out of it. It's no longer the holy quartet, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. Now it's the mystery of the Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Take it big, guy.